Paul, what did you learn from Jacob Trouba's visit with the specialist?
So he was diagnosed with a concussion, and he feels so he's in the protocol now. Feels good today, so that's positive.
What made this a good place to put Eric Comrie in between the pipes?
He's played, so he's got some games in with the Moose, so he hasn't been sitting for a long period of time. And there's a this works out to be a four-day block, if it works out, where we can give Connor about 3 days kind of mental rest and get him back up to speed. He is going to want to stay in a fairly good rhythm toward the end of the year, so we don't want to be pulling him out of games right at the end, not knowing, assuming that we can continue our play and make the playoffs, that he isn't sitting out for a week and a half before the first game. So he's looking at playing more toward the end, and we'll look at some more games kind of in the middle here.
Why do you think the transition's been so smooth for Paul Stastny?
He's an exceptionally bright man. His view of the game, his experience over his career, playing against the other team's best, understanding those players that he's playing against is a big part of him being able to, I don't want to say carry those young guys defensively, but certainly work with them because their defensive game has gotten better, their positioning in zone. And then he's got a great quick set of hands. So he can make a lot of those little plays coming across the blue line where there's some risk involved, but you want those players, you know, having the right amount of risk, and then he puts it deep when he needs to put it deep. So an offensive-minded player that doesn't look like he plays the game to try to prove to you that he's offense. He knows what he's got on his wings. He knows when to kind of utilize that and make those plays, but he's also very mature and when he decides to cut it off.
How have the Kings changed with the addition of Jeff Carter?
Well, you got another big, powerful center that can do a lot what Paul does. He's another. You don't have to run Kopitar against the other team's best and be real fine with that matchup because Kyrie can come out and do the exact same thing, score and defend at the same time. And he's put up good numbers since he's been back, and it makes you running your bench quite a bit different.
Given what's happened to your goalies this season, how aware is everybody of protecting Connor?
You know what? We shoot very low on Connor in practice. Did you ever see that? I think it was Glenn Healy had the radar gun on the two goalies in warm-up in Toronto. Ed Belfort was one goalie and then the backup, and it was like 45 miles an hour for Ed and like 120 for the backup when he got in, and that's all in a warm-up. So number one rules for your goalies, though.
And I'm thinking games, of course.
Well, we took, I mean, aware within reason, right? There's going to be traffic to the net. We took two penalties last game by RD, making sure that they boxed out. They're aware of protecting that asset, but almost more just as a course of how they do business, right? They're not overdoing it as guys get close to the net. This block of games, Dallas straight through to Nashville, will be heavy, heavy traffic games, so we have to be big and strong in front of there. I think we've managed it well.
And sometimes I assume you don't mind a guy maybe taking 2 minutes to send a message to stay away from our guy. How do you walk that line?
I didn't say a word to Bufflin or Myers about either of those two penalties, right? It has to be, but there's going to be some traffic, and for our goalies, it hasn't been getting run over. It's been heaters in practice or in games that they've got clipped on. So we might be looking at seeing if we could block a few more shots than necessarily wrestle guys in front of the net.
Paul, with the depth that you have at center right now with Mark being back and Adam as well, how is that, what sort of options does that give you in terms of how you run your bench?
You can start working on hands, face-off hands, putting your stronger lefties down low when you're under the ice, get your offensive guys. So where your shift starts is the chart, that's a better option for you. You're not looking to pull a line off the ice, right? You're not looking to short shift the guy or miss a line. We've got matchups that we want, but what's truth about it is I think flow of the game is more important with our group now than necessarily really finding a matchup and sitting a line for a long leave. But it'll take a while to get it right. Matty Perreault and that line played very little in the first period with the penalties and with some things, and we kind of got away from the matchup, and we're testing that as well. How far can we stretch those matchups and play? You know, Stastny's line's very interesting. They've scored goals against the other team's best because the other team's best, if they're an offensive line, is looking to take those chances as well. So We're kind of, it was game one, and Brian was on the wing at the time. So as we get closer to those four center being in our lineup, we'll get it to a better rhythm off the bench, which I think is more important with our forwards than necessarily a hard match.
Speaking of players, too, you use the word adaptability a lot, especially for guys to be able to come from the wing, to be able to move into center. Do you have more of that maybe this season than what you've been able, or more options in that respect?
Miles more, right? Because now Blake Wheeler is an easy sub in. Andrew Kopp came in as a center, then we liked him so much on the wing, he hasn't gone back there, but he's been very, very good in the middle of the ice. Matty Perreault, we prefer on the wing, but we can put him in there. But Roslovic, who played his first NHL game at center, and we like that very much. And then you've got the four guys that are pretty standard there. Where it, the better maybe benefit is two, injuries. You can survive them a little bit better in the middle. And it's also end-of-game scenarios where you want to have, if you can, a lefty and a righty on each line. You get the goalie out, you get an icing, you're never having somebody taking a draw on his weak side.
Paul, I'm interested in your D pairings. I know you've had a lot of injuries, but what kind of thought process goes into deciding who will fit best with whom?
Some of it is history. Right now, for me, Dustin Byfuglien's playing the best hockey of his career. And when he plays with Toby Enstrom, they've got a real good pair. They're the one group that we don't mind when they bring the puck back and use each other, because they do it very, very well. We've liked, you know, Myers and Morrissey and it's not so much default, but if you're going to load your top four up to play against the top two, basically, on the other, they were good together and they have a chemistry. But that starts because we like Enstrom and Byfuglien playing together so much. We can play Morrissey with Byfuglien. We can do move all those, and Enstrom and Myers have played together. Now that we've had, this is Morrissey's second year, but now that we've had quite a bit of time with these defensemen, they've all played with each other. So we can move those guys around. We found Ben Chiarot really liked what he's doing on the right side. So that's another real bonus for us now that he can swing and go both, play both positions. Line matchup, if everybody was healthy, style of lines would have to do, you know, style of opponent lines would have a lot to do, how much speed their number one line has, is it size-based, you know, how they're going to attack us. That those are the things that we think about in terms of the matchup.
So the opposition's fastest line would necessarily get Morrissey and Myers?
Well, there's a lot of other things that go with it, but Morrissey is most the speed on the left, the guy that would handle that. Any of the righties, for the most part, were pretty comfortable playing, so that's the bigger question is where the speed's coming from.
So if there had been almost no injuries this year, would you have necessarily swapped these guys in and around with each other just so that they were familiar with each other?
Probably not. No. But over 82, they're going to hit a dry spell. There's going to be a place where a guy's game's not going, and you're going to get an opportunity. But I would say going back the year prior, because we'll go back to when Tyler Myers came in, he came in with Enstrom. And so we've already got enough time together. You know, they fall back into their rhythms pretty quickly.
Just one last thing. Josh has raised his level too, hasn't he, in the last little while?
It's hard to say because his level was so high from game one. We've got lots of time for this guy. I think he does quietly is exceptional, but you would be correct, right? He's improving. So he's only in his second year in a very difficult position, difficult craft to learn. And a little bit like maybe Patrick Laine, kind of his second tour through the NHL, he starts to understand the goalie's tendencies a little bit more. When you get a young defenseman, they can look up at the board against the opposition and know and have a plan for each of the wingers and the centermen that you're going to mostly face. So his experiential learning for a guy as smart and aware as Josh has been important.
Wheeler's got a ton of credit for his leadership this year, Paul. But what about the rest of your veteran players? How good of a job have they done through this season?
Well, I think they're really excited and planned because those guys have carried a lot of pressure here over the last few years with a very young team, and they were the face of when things aren't going well, they're answering the questions. So those guys have enjoyed kind of having these young players come in, and our young players are good men, so they're taking direction and they're listening and they follow well. But critical, and I don't spend enough time talking about what Brian Little does and Bufflin and Toby Enstrom and Tyler Myers, those that next year. Matty Perreault, like the effect that they had. So Matty comes in this year and he accepts a fourth line kind of role and produces big numbers for us. So that set a lot of good things in motion. Hey, if it's good enough for Matty playing a few fewer minutes, you can probably handle that as well. So we've had a lot of kind of quiet leadership in our room that's been important.
Just noticed Jack Roslick wasn't out with the extra conditioning guys. Do you have a question mark up front for tonight or
just
no?
Just you, Ken.
I'll be there.
Well, you say it, but we'll see.